Smells pretty good. Jenkins placed his cheek against his BR-55's hard plastic stock and shot Forsell a sideways glance. What is it? The recruits lay side by side, facing the reactor complex's only gate, a break in the southern run of the 3-meter-high chain-link fence that surrounded the facility. Forsell took a sloppy bite from a foil-wrapped energy bar. Honey hazelnut. He chewed and swallowed without pulling his eyes from his spotting scope. Want some?
Any part of it you haven't licked? Jenkins asked.
No.
Nice.
Forsell shrugged apologetically and stuffed the rest of the bar into his mouth. It was his own fault he was hungry, Jenkins knew. He was so geared up about today's exercise, he'd barely eaten breakfast in the garrison mess. In fact, he'd been so certain the staff sergeants would attack when the recruits had their heads buried in their lunches, he'd skipped that meal entirely. Let the much larger Forsell take whatever he wanted from his MRE. Unfortunately, Forsell had taken everything, and now Jenkins had nothing in his stomach but anxious bile. The two recruits wore helmets that covered their ears, swept low over their brows, and were painted to match their mottled, olive-drab fatigues. The color would have served them well in the surrounding wheat, but wasn't as useful in their current location, the roof of a 2-story polycrete tower in the center of the complex that covered the reactor as well as Mac's data center. A high-pitched alert chimed from a speaker in Jenkins' helmet. Under Captain Ponder's supervision, the recruits had staked motion trackers all around the perimeter, switching the pole-mounted units to their highest sensitivity. While this gave them coverage beyond 1,000 meters, the trackers kept pinging ghosts, swarms of honeybees, flocks of starlings, and now a flight of Jotun dusters. Squinting past Forsell, Jenkins watched a trio of the needle-nosed, thin-winged planes buzz the western wheat. The dusters had been making long, serpentine passes all day, spraying a top dressing of fungicide. But this was their closest pass yet. A trailing white cloud billowed toward the complex, prompting the 12 recruits of 2nd Platoon's Bravo Squad, 2B, guarding the western fence, to turn away from the drifting chemicals, cover their mouths, and cough. These weren't indications of any real physical distress. Jenkins had applied enough of the organic compounds to his family's own crops to know it was perfectly safe to breathe, but rather expressions of the recruits' fatigue and discontent.
What time you got? Jenkins asked.
Forsell squinted at Epsilon Indy.
16:30, give or take.
Almost sunset, Jenkins thought.
Where the hell are they?
The rules of the exercise were simple. To win, either side needed to eliminate half the other. This meant Johnson and Byrne would have to drop 36 recruits, while the recruits only had to neutralize one of them. With the odds stacked so heavily against the staff sergeants, it had seemed likely they would try to attack early, before the recruits got settled. When the two of them had torn out of the complex's gate in their Warthog a little after 0900, the recruits had quickly divided into their squads, 3 in each platoon, and rushed to secure different sectors of the complex. Along with the rest of 1 Alpha Squad, 1A, Jenkins and Forsell had hustled to the reactor tower. The weather-beaten structure looked a bit like a birthday cake. The second of its 2 circular stories had a smaller diameter than the first and was topped with a cluster of candle-like aerials for Mac's Mazer and other comm devices. The tower was the only above-ground building in the complex and the only building for hundreds of kilometers in all directions. Jenkins and Forsell had climbed up 2 flights of ladders to the 2nd-story roof and gone prone, the most stable stance for shooting, if you could afford the loss of mobility. Resting his BR-55 across his rucksack for additional support, Jenkins had eased into his rifle scope just in time to see the staff sergeant's Warthog turn off the reactor complex's paved access road and head south down the highway toward Utgard. Adrenaline pumping, Jenkins had immediately pulled his battle rifle's charging handle, cycling around into the chamber. He had thumbed the fire select switch to single shot, tensed his finger on the trigger, and then nothing. Just hour after hour of blazing heat. The recruits had quickly begun to grouse that the real purpose of the exercise was to see how long they could stand being suckers. An overweight and outspoken 1A recruit named Osmo theorized that Johnson and Byrne had gone to Utgard for cold beer in an air-conditioned bar, leaving Epsilon Indy's broiling light to win the exercise for them. FCPO Healy had told them all to shut it, emphasizing that as long as they kept their helmets on and stayed hydrated, they'd be safe from heatstroke. For his part, Captain Ponder had remained in his Warthog, parked in the shade of a portable triage tent near the front gate, quietly smoking his Sweet William cigars.
"A beer would be nice,"
Jenkins murmured, listening to the Jotun Duster's engines fade. Even though he'd spent the day on his stomach hardly moving, sweat had poured out of him. There were at least 10 empty water bottles scattered between his and Forsell's boots, and Jenkins was still thirsty.
"Eyes on the big one,"
Forsell announced, lazily sweeping his scope to the east.
"Again."
Turning to follow Forsell's gaze, Jenkins saw a single Jotun combine, a giant machine painted dark blue with yellow detail stripes. Its three pairs of oversized wheels bucked up and down as it rolled over a gentle ridge. Though the combine was at least a kilometer distant, Jenkins had no trouble hearing the low rumble of its 3,000-horsepower ethanol-electric engine as it began devouring the wheat on the downslope. The combine had spent the day mowing the eastern fields in wide swaths perpendicular to the complex, shuddering the ground as it neared the perimeter fence. At first, this had unnerved some of the recruits. They'd all seen Jotuns, of course, but what was essentially a 50-meter-tall and 150-meter-long lawnmower triggered a pretty basic urge to flee, even when you knew an AI as capable as Mac had control of its circuits. But now, as the combine again bore down on the complex, the only thing that looked nervous was the wheat. Magnified in Jenkins' rifle scope, the stalks trembled before the whirring tines of the combine's rotary header, almost as if they had some knowledge of their imminent threshing.